Now, campaigners for a second, with a second EUP, where did I get P from there? A second EU referendum have set out a roadmap to obtain what's called a people's vote, giving the public the final say on the outcome of Brexit negotiations. Now, we've spoken about this many times on the programme. For example, Jamie DeLargy, who is a great advocate for staying in the European Union, says that democracy should not allow a second EU referendum. So, you know, it's not just people who want to be in the European Union who are saying that a second referendum is a slap in the face to democracy. But maybe we are moving closer to a second EU referendum. We've had the Mayor of London, of course, in a very high profile way calling for one, and he is not alone. This is going to be discussed at Council. Kate Nicol is one of the people from the Alliance Party who believes in the people's vote. Kate, it's your motion, actually. You're among the people bringing this to the floor.
It is, Frank. Yes, I actually brought this to Council at the last Council meeting. We wanted to debate it then, but the other parties didn't really want to debate it. So we're going to be discussing it in committee today. Hopefully it will get supported. And then at the next Council meeting, then that will hopefully be ratified.
So why can you not go with what the democratic will of the people is to leave the European Union? And I mean the democratic will of the people across the United Kingdom.
Listen, Frank, we recognise the result of the referendum, but we also recognise that the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain, and we believe that the electorate should have a vote in deciding to accept any deal negotiated, or in the event of a no deal, to decide between leaving or remaining. We're at a deadlock in Brexit negotiations at the moment. There's a risk of a no deal, and that really reinforces the need for people to have their say. I don't think it's undemocratic to give people the opportunity to have their say.
Okay, Brian Kingston is with the DUP. He'll also be there at the meeting. Brian Kingston, a lot of people do argue that we were sold a pup, and if we had to vote again, we wouldn't make the same mistake.
Well, I have to say, opinion polls I've seen don't show that. I think if people feel that their democratically expressed wishes are being ignored, or are somehow there's an attempt to thwart their wishes, that they will react to that. There's every chance that the vote in support of Brexit would increase, as people would see it was a device. But obviously the DUP will not be supporting this motion, which is effectively calling for a second referendum. As you know, as Kate knows, there already has been a people's vote, which took place in 2016. And we are now in the process of complex negotiations between the UK and the EU on the terms of Brexit and our future relationship with the EU. We want to have good economic, cultural ties with the rest of Europe and with the EU. But this now opens up the opportunities for us to increase our international connections, and that's very important. But the negotiations with the EU are likely to continue until a late stage. The government has confirmed that there will be a vote in Parliament at the end of that procedure by democratically elected MPs. But our main objection to this is that the Alliance motion is playing, which refers to the potential economic damage from leaving without a deal. But this call for a second referendum would greatly increase the risk of there being no deal. So it is irresponsible. These are complex matters, and there's always a danger on Belfast City Council and local government generally that councillors bring a series of motions forward on matters which are far beyond our control. It's important that we do take an interest in Brexit, that we focus on the potential threats, but also the opportunities that it presents to us as a city. But we don't need to have shadow debates of matters which should be debated in Parliament, Westminster, or in our Northern Ireland Assembly. And what would be most beneficial would be if Alliance could speak up more strongly for the re-establishment, the immediate re-establishment of the Northern Ireland Assembly and Executive, which Sinn Féin is boycotting.
But Brian, we'll get to that roundabout that is, you know, Stormont on another occasion, because our heads are dizzy with people blaming Sinn Féin or blaming the DUP. Yes, I understand that that's where you feel it should be discussed, but we don't have an executive, and the train is steaming on down the line. Are you happy enough if there is no deal? Are you a Brexiteer if there's no deal?
Well, the vote has been taken, and in terms of the negotiations, that is one of the potential outcomes, obviously. But it is not in our interest to have no deal. We need to have a good arrangement with the EU.
Yes, but even though it's not in our interest, and it's very hard to find anyone who will say it is in our interest to have no deal, the DUP will still go with it. If there's no deal, you're happy.
Well, there's two partners to the deal. The two partners are the United Kingdom and the European Union. So it is not in the gift of the UK, it's not in the gift of the DUP alone to ensure that there is a deal. It takes the two partners, the UK and the EU, to come to a sensible arrangement. And in the negotiations, all potential outcomes are possible.
And so Kit Nicholl
need to be committed to finding a resolution.
Okay, and Kit Nicholl, on that, we know there's going to be a deal in the end. Of course there's going to be a deal. That's the way politicians operate. Brinkmanship, and at the last minute, something will be sorted that will suit Britain and will suit the EU, and we can benefit from what the electorate called for at the beginning of this, to get out of the European Union, to cast off the shackles, and we are our own man on our own feet. Is that not an argument?
I think it's a very weak argument, personally. I mean, the fact that Brian can't answer that question about what happens in the event of a no deal, to me, is staggering. I'd also like to reject the argument that council can't have a debate on this. We have no assembly, so it's up to the largest council to be leading on the way. We're showing leadership on this. We're allowing people's voices to be heard. Like, Frank, Brexit is a huge act of political and economic self-harm to Northern Ireland. We were sold false promises and fed lies in the 2016 referendum, and over the past 2 years, the risks, especially in the no-deal scenario, have become clearer. And it's not just some abstract argument. I mean, we hear things about kind of medicines being stockpiled and food being stored. That's one part of it. But it's impacting our city. I sit on the Belfast Waterfront Stakeholders Group, and we were talking about risks recently. And they said there is a very real risk, because not being in the EU will potentially put off large associations that would hold conferences in Belfast. If we are not getting big conferences into our city because they can't get their VAT back, which is what they would get in the EU, then it means they're not going to come and stay. That doesn't just impact our venues, it impacts our hotels, it impacts our restaurants, our jobs. This is wide ranging. So it's really important that we get support across the political spectrum to support this.
Okay, thank you very much, Kate Nicholl. I'll give the final word to you, Brian Kingston, as Kate got the first one. She is seriously concerned about the future when we go through with Brexit.
Yeah, well, this is a very important national debate, and we do want to have a good working relationship and good arrangements with countries in the EU and with the EU as an organisation. But our country has taken a democratic vote to leave, and that opens up all sorts of opportunities for us to make trade deals and better arrangements. I welcome the Prime Minister's recent visit to Africa, where she was in Nigeria and Kenya and other countries, and the warm reception that she had there. It opens up particularly those opportunities with Commonwealth countries.
But are those opportunities, Brian, going to benefit? Are those opportunities going to benefit Belfast? Are they going to benefit anywhere on the island of Ireland, north or south, when Brexit happens? Or might whatever benefit there is, or you know, that you're promoting, might it not be seen across the English and British mainland?
Well, we have many people from those countries living here and working here, and we want to see people with the right skills that we need to benefit our economy, to benefit our public services and our health services, working here and contributing. And so, as I say, we want to be able to both within the EU and with the wider world, increasing those international connections for our benefit. On Belfast City Council, it's right that we take an interest in how we can minimise the risk, maximise the opportunities, but we don't need to have intense debates on the fine detail of matters which are actually been decided elsewhere, such as at Westminster, and should be debated at the Northern Ireland Assembly.
Okay, Brian Kingston, thank you very much. Kate Nicholl, thank you. Our council discussing whether or not we should have a second referendum. There aren't that many people, I'm sure, who are going to listen to the outcome of the debate. But is it an important debate? And when I say there aren't many people, I'm talking about at a multi-international level when it's held locally at Belfast City Council. But is it an important debate to have? And in the absence of an assembly, is it really the main platform for debate? Your opinions are welcome indeed. And how worried are you about exiting from the European Union, or how much are you looking forward to it? We're into the final 6 months now. Are you, you know, punching the air with joy, or are you holding your hands in prayerful contemplation that you're so worried and concerned you don't know which turn to take? Your opinions are very welcome. 0289033105. Let me speak to Barbara, who's on line four. Good morning, Barbara.
Hello. I don't know why people, I think, are hoping that it's not going to be reversed. The decision is not going to be reversed. I think those are the ones that are shouting about it. We voted in the first place for something we didn't know about, and we'd be voting for something we did know about to a certain extent. When we went into the EEC, we voted twice. Once before, and then once should we stay. Now, why was this not democratic? I know all about it because I was living in America for the first vote, and when the second vote came in, should we stay, I had to ask. I was back in Britain, living in Britain, and I had to ask my parents, who were both MAs, but be that as it may, they had been living in it, should we stay or shouldn't we? And the decision, of course, was to stay. But why was that not democratic?
Barbara, do you feel that you voted for in the referendum without the knowledge that you needed? Now you have more knowledge, or you'll have more knowledge whenever the deal is struck. And as a result of that extra information, you'd be in a better position to finally make up your mind. Is that what you're saying?
It's rather obvious, isn't it? But, you voted in the first place for a certain extent, a lot of lies. I don't know if we're allowed to listen to the BBC, but I listened to Perforated Ulster and The Blame Game, as we all do. And blow me, there are more jokes about Boris's bus, which I presume is the one with the hospital, the promise of a hospital every whatever it was on the side of it.
Yeah, they were probably promising to save multi-millions for the NHS. But are you sort of judging your decision on whether or not there's a second referendum on what you're hearing from the likes of Tim McGarry?
No, I'm just saying they seem to hit the spot. Very often. And a friend of mine says, why are they not sued?
I think actually that's what we should do in future. Instead of going with party election broadcasts, we should have Perforated Ulster or The Blame Game on every night in the run-up to an election, and they should have their say. They should have their balanced say in relation to all of the politicians, and that way we could decide who we vote for. Do you think it would change the face of local politics?
It might well do. They have they seem to hit the weak point at every point. You know, the questionable point. They seem to hit the spot.
They do hit the spot. There's no question about it. Spitting Image did it years ago as well. Does that influence your decision-making? Barbara, thank you. Barbara would like to see a second referendum. Would you? Do let us know. Talk to more of you in a moment. Just with this debate at Belfast City Council. We'll put up a Twitter poll here on U105. A simple enough question. Would you like a second EU referendum when you get all the information? So would you like a second EU referendum? You can vote on that via our Twitter page. Roy and Alex have points to make. Alex is in the line. Morning, Alex.
Good morning, Frank. Yeah, Frank, I've just listened to the debate and I have been listening to it for weeks now. It seems that the alliance, well, the Republican parties, and I include the alliance party in that.
You're including the alliance party under the Republican umbrella.
Yes, well, you know, look at the record on the voting on it. Alliance every time in Belfast City Council, and 99% of the time, they'll go along with the Republican parties.
Yeah, just that I've had this argument on the radio where people have come on and described them as a unionist party, and you know that we've had the debate. But however, you see them as close to being Republicans. But what's your criticism of this collection of parties? What's your problem?
Well, they're wanting a rerun of the EU referendum, which was, as already been stated, democratically voted for, whether you like it or not. I voted yes. That's beside the point.
Just on that, Alex, you voted yes. Now, if at the end of all the discussions, you realise, jeepers, this is desperate. This is going to be awful. I'm going to have a smaller pension. I'm going to be out of a job. And I'm not suggesting that this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying if, and it's a massive if, but I'm going to have my pension's down. My family aren't going to have jobs. I'm going to be restricted in where I can go. My currency's gone through the floor. If that was to come out of all of it, would you still say yes because you said yes the first time?
Well, it was a democratic vote, and this is exactly the point that I want to make. If it doesn't work, then perhaps another referendum or try to get back into Europe. But we also voted overwhelmingly for the Good Friday Agreement. Now, it clearly hasn't worked, so we're going to call for a second vote on it.
But how would you have a second referendum on the Good Friday Agreement? That would be like putting toothpaste back into a tube. How do you do that?
Well, you know, the same method as what they're trying to get the EU referendum rerun on.
But you know, the difference, Alex, the difference is 1998's a long time ago. The referendum on the EU is still fresh. We haven't left the European Union yet. All the steps of the Good Friday Agreement have been taken. The horses are away down the road, for better or for worse. But there's still a chance to change your mind with the EU referendum.
Yeah, but why should we change our mind? The vote has been taken. The people of Britain have spoke.
But if they realise, this is the point I'm saying, and it's a big if, they might realise with the deal that it's the best thing that ever happened. Let me also emphasise that. It might be the best thing that ever happened. But if they do spot this ogre approaching, and just because they've invited the ogre into the room, should we invite you in, you might as well stay now that you're here.
Yeah, well, no, it depends on which paper you read and which commentator you listen to. You know, it's all in the mix at the minute. And you'd probably be confident, I would be confident enough that the British government will negotiate a decent deal for us. What I've seen from the Colmigan Republican parties are more interested in the fact that it'll happen in the South rather than here.
Would it worry you if the outcome of Brexit had a detrimental effect on the Republic of Ireland?
Unless there's a knock-on effect to Northern Ireland, I wouldn't really be concerned about the Republic of Ireland.
But Alex, how on earth would there not be a knock-on effect in Northern Ireland? If the Republic of Ireland starts to go down the tubes because Britain's left the European Union, surely Northern Ireland is also going to be in difficulty. When you think happens across the border, all the businesses that operate across the border, the way farmers interact across the border, health service across the border making progress, so many people with families split across the border. Surely, if the Republic of Ireland goes to the wall, and it's a big, big, big if, these are only ifs, but if they suffer, surely you suffer. Like, what part of the world are you in? Antrim? Surely you suffer as well.
Well, possibly. But now, if you look at the Celtic Tiger, when the Republic was booming, and everybody on tour, et cetera, were all going to Dublin, now the economy's not so strong. It has helped Northern Ireland. The tourists are flocking in. They're staying in Belfast and Northern Ireland because it's more economical than to stay in the south.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much indeed. Your opinions, 02890-333-105. Roy has a point. Good morning, Roy.
Morning, Frank. I voted to leave the EU whenever it was, about a year ago or whatever. And I think I did. I made the wrong choice, to be honest. All the falsehoods or lies that were told, that big red bus saying there's money, hundreds of millions going to back to the NHS every so often, and all that, and it all ended up to be all pie in the sky, and the even people to stay were sort of telling us lies too. So we were sort of voting on something we totally didn't know. And listening to the last year about this and that and the other, and they're saying, oh, we're going to get trade deals and all with the rest of the world. I hear lately it's going to take decades to create those trade deals. If I would love a second referendum, and I would vote to stay back in, because it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Okay, Roy, thank you. That bus that people keep referring to is the bus that said, we send the EU £350 million a week, let's fund our NHS instead. And of course, that is now described as one of the great lies of the whole campaign. But you voted to leave. Okay, people in Northern Ireland didn't vote to leave, some did, but right across the UK, the vote was to leave. So do you want a second referendum, or is it a slap on the face to democracy? Geordie has a point. Good morning, Geordie.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I was just listening to some of your contributors and the comments on the show this morning. I mean, the age for voting in this country is 18. At that age, it's fair to assume that anyone able to cast a vote is mentally mature enough to do their own research, Frank, to make their own mind up, and to make a decision that you go to the ballot box once. Now, democracy, the very nature of democracy is that the majority rules, Frank. Never in a democracy will everyone get their own way, but they have to abide by the majority rule.
Yeah, but Geordie, hold on one second. Do you not accept, Geordie, listen a wee moment. I totally understand what you're saying, and Jamie DeLargy made this point with equal eloquence many months ago on the programme, and he's someone who is in favour of staying in the European Union, but he says democracy rules. The democratic process must be adhered to. However, Geordie, surely if you're voting between, say take two politicians from the past, if Ian Paisley had been standing against John Hume in the past, people at 18 years of age and over knew what they were voting for. They had a darn good idea what Ian Paisley stood for. They had a darn good idea what John Hume stood for. They knew what they were doing. If, however, back at the referendum, people were voting to leave the European Union or not, it could easily be argued they didn't know what they were doing, because we still don't fully understand it. I challenge any man short of the governor of the Bank of England to come on here and fully explain what leaving the European Union means, or any woman short of a senior member of staff, short of the Prime Minister. I invite the Prime Minister to come on and explain what leaving the European Union actually means. So for you to say that anyone 18 or over knows what they're doing whenever they voted in the, knew what they were doing whenever they voted in the referendum, I would challenge you on that. I don't think people had a darn clue what they were doing.
Frank, you have a point in what you said. However, all the media and all the attention that Brexit on leaving the EU in March next year, all the attention it's getting is from those who are pessimistic, who fear change. No one knows for definite what's going to be good, what's going to be bad, what's going to remain the same after Brexit. But the people made their choice by the situation that they were in and the information which they had at that time. There are a lot of things that they didn't know, but there were a lot of certainties they did know. I think immigration played a large part in the people's choice to leave the EU. Free movement between borders, I think that was a huge thing. Taxes imposed from other countries and duties imposed on goods travelling backwards and forwards, they knew that at the time, and that was how it was set. The massive contributions that Britain must make to the EU on that bus you spoke about earlier on a weekly basis. Frank, these things were all there, and the EU was very happy to take them from us. We weren't drawing, we weren't getting back what we were putting in. Now, the people knew that at the time, and I think those are the facts. They weren't the unknowns. Those were the facts which people based their decisions on. If we decide to say, if there was a second referendum and we decide to stay within the EU, we must accept those tariffs and conditions that have been in place, and we must say, right, well, that's okay, we're going to make our contributions, our borders are going to be open. The people decided they don't want this, Frank, and they have stood to their ground and they have said, right, we're voting, we're getting out of this. Those people who voted to get out are prepared to take the chance, and they may also be prepared to suffer short-term hardship for long-term gain.
Okay, Geordie's analysis, your opinions, very, very welcome.